Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Cheering at pro wrestling shows in Japan is back, and 2023 is already shaping up to be a big year in the history of pro res. That's why you should listen to the Emerald Flow Show. From the Royal Road to the Green Mat, Paul and Gerard take you into the world of All Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling NOAH. Not only do we analyze events, but we examine business, who is getting over, what angles are working or not. Occasionally, we take a look at other Japanese promotions like DDT and Zero One. So if you're looking for more coverage of the world of Japanese wrestling, check out the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey, kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling, too. This is Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Chris Novembrino. The wrestling's been pretty good this week. Up until today. And then things hit the fan. Shall we just get into it, Chris, or do you have some talk?
No, let's do it. I mean, you know,
if
you're here for contrarian opinions, let's get into it.
That's what we should rename this, the Contrarian Show, for some reason. So Collision is set to debut tomorrow. Cheap plug for me. I'll be on the Fight Game Media Network's YouTube show after Collision for live hot takes. We all ready? Are we all ready for Collision? Have we gathered? You know, Punk, you ready? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I just have this one interview I need to do. Leroy Jenkins. Word coming out earlier this week from Wade Keller that there was some controversy behind this interview, and Brian Alvarez seemed to pile on it that there are people unhappy in the locker room about, and I can kind of see why. It's not anything that we don't already know, per se. A lot of this drama, there are NDAs involved, but yes, Mark Raimondi of ESPN did an interview with CM Punk in anticipation of Collision, and Punk talked about his issues with Hangman Adam Page, who I assume is not part of the NDA, but just to bring you up on the timeline here. Punk and Hangman agreed on a promo. Hangman went off script and took some liberties. Punk got hurt physically by stuff that was going on in the match between the two of them, when Hangman Page, I guess a chop went too high and chipped a tooth and stuff like that. Punk gets ticked off. And then Punk dishes his receipt eventually after Tony Khan doesn't do anything. Now, some of the histrionics by Punk here. Number one, let's talk about the elephant in the room here. This is not the time to relitigate old wounds, even if he was asked about it. You just say, look, if things are truly in the past, as he would like to say they are in the past. Now is not the time. You don't need an explainer. You got a new TV show coming on. This is not the time for
that. So on one hand, I'm glad that Punk clarified his version of the timeline a lot more, because I think there's certainly antagonism between Punk and the Bucks and Omega, but then there's also this antagonism that's happening between Punk and Paige, and that happens in the ring during the course of them being physical. And I mean, like, look, if that one chop went high, I'm guessing there were other times where these two guys were being a bit stiff with each other during the course of that matchup. And I go back to the quote here, which now I want to also mention, I think that, like, it's idiotic and clearly toxic for CM Punk to be relitigating this stuff. So yes. While on one hand, it's clarifying or whatever, it's like, I mean, we go back to this workers' rights promo, right? Let me get it up because I want to read it again.
Let me also. Sure. Oh, jeez.
Here it is. I got it.
Oh, thank goodness.
Jeff, I don't need your help for that. I've now gotten the quote into a place where I can read it.
We used to be sponsored by those types of things.
the sponsored days. I look back fondly.
Yeah, remember when this show made money?
And also the deconstructionist, increasingly deconstructionist commercials we offered you all. Yes. But here in this case, I want to talk about this. You talk a big game about workers' rights. Well, you've shown the exact opposite since you got here. I love this place. I care about this place. This is my home, and it's Sunday. This Sunday at Double or Nothing, I will not be defending this championship against you. No, for the first time in my life, I'll be defending All Elite Wrestling from you. Your mileage may vary on this, but like the idea that Paige is saying these words absent the opinions of others informing him, I mean, it would strike me as unbelievably arrogant. I mean, you say that you're doing this for everybody and you haven't spoken to anyone. Like, you just, like, sort of, like, sat, meditated, realized what was good for all, and then came down and said this thing to CM Punk? No.
Well, let me...
I think it's far more likely that Paige was talking to people, up to and including the Bucks and Omega, and that was part of where this was all coming from.
As it says in the article, Paige thought that Colt Cabana lost his job because of Punk. And I assume when he's saying, I'm defending him from you, it's everybody in the locker room liked Colt, and then you got here and you got him fired. Which we speculated on, that was what was going on here, that the locker room had been poisoned when he got there. The other part where...
And they used Colt Cabana to poison him, which... I mean, not to really get all of the Colt Cabana and CM Punk stuff, but I have a hard time looking at CM Punk as the villain in that exchange between those two guys.
I guess because I don't know enough about what happened before the trial, but I know that once, you know, lawyers and money get involved, and, you know, Punk being Punk and, you know, whatever happened with Colt and who he was talking to and who he wasn't talking to. The other part, though, that I just go, oh, my God, Punk, why are we doing this right now? It's like, well, I was afraid to get in the ring with Hangman Page. I'm like, you are a trained UFC mixed martial arts fighter. If
that
you cannot
so
take
unbelievably weak,
I, if you that... cannot take care of yourself and just punch a guy in the face. If he decides to shoot on you. Bill Watts is rolling over in his grave and he's not dead yet. That's it's one of those things where it's like. You remember when, like, people would get in the ring with Vader and Vader would take liberties and all you had to do was to get Vader
Jim
to start.
Would just fight back. Yeah.
Just punch him in the face and he'll be fine. What happened to those days where it's like people are going to get receipts? Okay. People get potatoed accidentally. And then it's like, you know, if you're mad about it, you have a receipt in your back pocket. If somebody's purposely taking liberties with you, this is supposed to be a tough business. Punch
right.
them in the face.
I know, not for nothing. That would have made the Paige and Punk match that much more interesting, honestly.
Dude, if it had devolved, it might have been one of the best matches.
I know. I mean, I'm kind of here for that. So
I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at this article.
He doesn't come off better in any way in this article, even with the additional information that he offers, which in some cases confirms those of us who believe that the Bucks and Page have a larger, you know, role to play here than, let's say, like 10% or 5% or whatever. But he comes off as, like the timing of this. He's never going to let this shit go.
No, he has. He has a list of grievances. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're at the funeral of someone. It's like, yeah, and there was that time she cheated on me. It's like, this is not the time.
Right,
You don't. Now is not the time to get grievances. Now is the time to shine your image of, because I honestly do believe this too, Chris. I believe he wants to mentor younger wrestlers. I believe he wants to be a positive force in wrestling. I believe his attitude sometimes gets in the way of that. I believe, let's put it this way, I believe he has good intentions. I just believe he has bad people skills.
Yeah, I don't think he came in here trying to be malicious. And I think he's right to feel railroaded over the Colt Cabana stuff.
And again, is this Tony Khan's problem? Tony Khan needed to step in here. Tony Khan still likes Punk a lot. And that's, you know, I guess that's a positive thing, but you nip the Page issue in the bud and nothing else happens.
Well, and the Cabana issue too. I'm sorry.
Yes.
If you're Tony Khan and you're going to pay big money to get CM Punk to come into your promotion and unretire and come back into the ring for the first time in 7 years, and you're doing this specifically to juice ratings, the needs and the feels of Colt Cabana do not matter. You toss that into the toilet because you are making a move specifically to juice the ratings here, which
let me smooth out a little bit of what you said there, because I understand the directness of it. You have a guy who went through the indies and a lot of people like, and a lot of people worked with in ROH. You need to have a meeting with this locker room and explain things and get them ready. Now, they may not like it. It may all end up the same way it would have ended up anyways. But, and I don't know if this happened or not, but you need to do some damage control before he ever gets there.
Right. And you need to remind everyone, it's your house. Like, this is the house that Tony built. This is, you know, and his
dad.
The
buck stops here.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's because, like, the Young Bucks are also in the company. It's
the
really
Bucks
clever.
Stop here as well. Yes, come on.
Yeah. No, I know that man. That's wonderful stuff. No, I mean, it's to me, it's just like Tony Khan needed to put his foot down here. This is a business decision that he's making for the good of the company, and the workers can't.
Be a friend to everybody in this case,
and the inmates can't run the asylum.
Yes,
like that. That's a thing that I feel like routinely is the problem here. Is it's the inmates run the asylum over and over again,
and the cool dad problem.
Right,
they're not your friends; they're your employees. Now, you might have a friendly relationship with them, but still, you know, this isn't a collaborative effort per se. If you're the guy controlling everything, Further news, it was just announced on Twitter that the theme song for AEW Collision, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting by Sir Elton John. Old Tony paid some money for that one. I kind of like it, Chris.
I kind of like it. I think I like it in particular because, like, I can hear that ben-en-en, as, like, a retro NWA-style intro or whatever. Like, it's a really good theme song if you're making.
Song.
Oh, it's a great song, but if you're making a throwback style show.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were really committed to that. I think
we're both kind of hoping for a bit of a throwback show, too.
Yes.
You and I. Although, this is a tangent that I don't think you're going to get, but The only other pop culture usage of Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting that I can think of right now, there's an episode of ALF.
I love ALF. That show for the younger set is very strange to go back and watch. ALF
terrible.
ALF's a very weird character.
Yeah, somebody got high and made ALF. And of course, Willie, the nebbish father of the family, who turned out to be a giant crackhead, which just seemed weird, singing Saturday on the keyboard while never mind. I gotta move on because I can't get into ALF talk. It's a strangely dark show.
I hate that in America in 2023 we can't speak on the real stuff anymore. Yeah.
But by the way, cancel culture,
we can't even talk about ALF anymore.
Underrated the made-for-TV movie Project ALF that aired on a different network, which has one of the greatest jokes I've ever seen in pop culture.
What is Project ALF?
It's basically ALF is captured by the government.
Oh my god!
By the military.
Oh my god!
And they want to weaponize him. Yeah, it's fun. But
because what powers did he have other than just like being able to eat anything?
He ate cats.
Yeah, he ate cats. Right. Yeah.
He was an alien, so of course the military wanted to see how they could use this for their own benefit, because that's how you wrote the military in the late '80s, early '90s.
Oh, I mean, that's what the military would do too. I mean, it's not just. I mean, it's plausible at least. That's all I'm saying.
But that's one of the best jokes. He's being evaluated by these different people, and he goes, "What's the difference between a shower curtain and toilet paper?" The guy goes, "I don't know." He goes, "So you're the one." Love that gag. Anyways, moving on. Oh dear lord, what am I doing? The Collision announce team has been announced as well. That's a hell of a sentence, Hawkins. Kevin Kelly, Nigel McGuinness, and as they say, offering up his veteran experience, Jim Ross.
I like to call him good old JR.
Well, of course, it was the good old at JR's barbecue handle. Interesting for a couple reasons. Number one, we are yet again bringing in another announcer in Kevin Kelly when we have Ian Riccoboni around. I know people kind of connect Riccoboni with only ROH, and maybe he can only do the ROH broadcast, but I mean, we have lots of other guys in the stable here, but Kevin Kelly is also the American voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling, which makes me wonder if one of these companies is going to try exclusivity one of these days. Nigel McGuinness he can be good. Let's put it that way. In NXT UK, and even in NXT on his second run there, or first run, I can't remember what it was. It was his SmackDown run, that very short-lived SmackDown run. He kind of got into Clicheville a little bit. You know, he'd always say, "Now, wait a minute," you know, that kind of thing. Whenever, right before a big move, him and Morrow kind of got into a bit of a rut at times, I think. But I'm interested in that. And as long as Jim Ross isn't crapping on the product, I'm fine with it. You know, or just trying to get his stuff in on commentary. If it's just, you know, quips here and there, a little historical analysis, I'm good with that. I'm going to be interested. I'm interested in this show. I really want to watch it. I'll be watching the first episode live, of course. I think there are some brave things they could do on this show to really get people talking, like, say, turn CM Punk heel on night one. I think that'd be fascinating, but we will see, and it will become part of our lazy river here, depending on if Chris can watch it or if I can watch it, given the Durin week.
I mean, especially if they do some interesting angles and it feels like it's going to have some weight.
Yeah.
And be a part of the discussion, then we'll watch it. But I feel like you and I kind of increasingly triage watching stuff based off of how much these angles actually matter on a given week.
Yeah, and also just given the night, because by the time we record, it's already almost a week old. So it's also one of those things where it's like,
yeah, but like, we would still want to circle back to the CM Punk angle in the same way that we wanted to talk about Bloodline stuff. And we have done week old Bloodline.
Oh yeah. Bloodline's still interesting, no matter what, Joe Lanza says. WWE's exclusive window for negotiating with Comcast and Fox over TV rights for its television shows is up, meaning other potential suitors can come into play. There's a rumor, unsubstantiated naturally, that Disney is involved somehow, perhaps to broadcast on FX, which they own. I think Disney actually owns the Fox network, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that's just a weird... They own 20th Century Fox. I don't know if that means they own the Fox network or not. I'm not sure of the mergers and acquisitions aspect of it all.
I feel like Murdoch owns Fox News and News Corp.
Yes.
Not 20th Century Fox?
No, that's correct. Disney owns them. But I'm not sure who owns the Fox networks in terms of, you know...
Like the TV network, too.
The TV networks.
Yeah.
Disney, it's always usually Nick Khan leaking that, in my opinion. My opinion is WWE will go with whoever pays them the most. I think Comcast has a distinct advantage here, and I think they will want to be in the Raw business for a number of years. It's SmackDown that I would worry about. SmackDown could find a home on FX. SmackDown has been broadcast on Fox Sports West. I think WWE would take it as an insult if they took them off of broadcast television.
Yeah, especially with the numbers they've been doing.
Yeah, and their numbers have been pretty good of late. I believe they had 2.1 million this past week on Friday. And they had Friday.
That 3 million number that one week. I mean, yeah. That was just staggering stuff.
Mm-hmm. So we will see, and of course everybody's going to be waiting. And then Warner Brothers Discovery could be a player in this too. So we'll just have to wait and see. Personnel front, BJ Whitmer fired from AEW after being arrested for second-degree burglary and strangulation. Good move on AEW to move swiftly on that part, but being hired as producers and to work in creative, Jimmy Jacobs, formerly of Ring of Honor, and as of late working as creative in Impact. And
Where's Jeff Hardy working these days?
Huh?
Where's Jeff Hardy working at?
He's in AEW, of course.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, no, it's still good that they got rid of BJ Whitmer.
duly noted. Although domestic abuse is a little bit higher than drunk driving, but I get your point.
Well, until you kill somebody with your vehicle.
Until you kill, yes. The point made, Chris. I'll take the L on it. And Kevin Matthews, who formerly worked, I believe, in Impact as KM, is also being hired. So a lot of ex-indie guys that a lot of these guys worked with. Jimmy Jacobs, I find the synergy interesting because, of course, he was fired from WWE when he took a picture with the Bucks and Cody when they did their march on Ontario, California out here. When they were still the young upstarts of wrestling, trying to get a company going and things like that. Jimmy Jacobs, not my favorite creative necessarily, but I mean, he'd been doing a lot of the Supernatural stuff in Impact, but he was also kind of the Chris Jericho whisperer in WWE with like the list and the pen clicking and things like that. So, I mean, I'll give him a chance here. I have no problem with it overall because, I mean, he knows. I mean, look, he's worked with most of those guys for years. I get it. It just... For lack of a better term, it's not an inspired pickup to me. It's not outside the box thinking, but it doesn't necessarily have to be either.
No, I think Jimmy Jacobs, I guess the big knock is just that he's a known quantity or whatever, but his track record's not bad. He's just not like a world
movie. I think most of my negativity comes from I just didn't like his character in ROH.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest with you.
No, his ROH character wasn't great, but like, yeah, his creative, as far as I can remember, it's actually been, you know, perfectly fine.
Perfectly acceptable. I mean, as a guy in the room, sure. Okay. Nails making his first public appearance at a Comic-Con in Detroit. He's also signed on to do Project The High Spots. Kind of begs the question, is there that much demand for Nails?
Are we talking like Nails from DOA in the 90s?
No, we're talking Nails the Convict who had a feud with the Big Boss Man.
Whoa.
And then did like the one shot in WCW as the Convict against Sting.
Oh.
I just find that interesting that he's a guy that they brought out from Mothballs. Roosh quit AAA this past week. Roosh's contract with AEW is a one-year deal and is believed to be up soon. Incidentally, Andrade is on a three-year deal with AEW, and he was of the impression that his is up in a few months. But in his case, due to injury, AEW could extend it for the amount of time he was out injured. This is Uncle Dave talking. There was talk of it opening the door to trying to talk with WWE, in parentheses, where Andrade's wife works. It's almost, and this is also Dave editorializing a bit, it's almost funny that AAA did WWE such a big favor with the Dragon Lee thing in December, enough that it almost cost AAA its relationship with AEW. Any thoughts on Roosh?
I mean, if he went to WWE, we know what his ceiling would be at.
Member of the LWO, or fighting right. for control.
There's a clear limit to how much one can achieve in WWE if you don't have a strong command of the promos.
Yeah, they have a style. They want you to do exposition-y promos. You don't get to do real promos in there, in my opinion.
Right, and that's the other, I mean, the English is a second language, people. I mean, the other part is they still get stuck with this complicated verbiage that's not even written, like, in a way that's particularly friendly for an ELSL person.
They get complicated verbiage. They get stuck in a stereotypical gimmick of some sort. You know, all the Hispanics, like, you know, all the black wrestlers will be together. All the, you know, they love their racial segregation. You know, I mean, it's not like Asuka has given anything interesting in the past 3 months to say ever online. It's just Asuka is such a transcendental performer that she can overcome bad material. But
let's not kid ourselves. This material's horrible.
Yes. Yeah, if I were Roosh and Andrade, I would be trying to make the most of this opportunity on Collision. I really would. I understand Andrade is a Triple H guy, and Triple H, you know, made him look like $1 million in NXT. Even Triple H's WWE ain't NXT anymore. It's a different ball game. It's a different set of fans. It's a much more, for lack of a better term, they ain't tuned in. They're casual as hell. They're a little Caucasian, to be honest with you, and they like, they're a little xenophobic. It's just one of those things where, and that's mostly what WWE does in terms of packaging. It's like, yeah, they're gonna cheer the LWO and they're gonna get their cheers and stuff like that, but it's still, to me, it's a cringe gimmick in some ways. Now, I love the performers in it, but it's a cringe gimmick to me.
Yeah, no, bringing back the LWO, I don't look at it as strong. It's not strong in particular because it's not even, they haven't really even attempted to root it into
It's
much.
A brand. That's all it is. Yeah. They haven't explained the why they love the LWO other than, right. Eddie Guerrero did it. You know, it's like, okay, right. Great.
No, I mean, they should be trying to educate people on, like, Psicosis and La Parca and, you know, El Dandy.
The history of Lucha, whatever you want. Right. You know, you use this as an opportunity to do something with it. And all it is it's a T-shirt that they want to sell in the store.
I know.
Speaking of which, it looks like Carlito has been re-signed to WWE. He is only 43.
Wow.
Yeah, he got in young. I mean, he's a cologne.
Right. Sure. I know. It's just like,
if we could get Primo and Epico back too.
And we got Garza there, right?
They're probably 25. Oh, well, Garza just re-showed up on NXT.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, it looks like.
Carrillo, who's a cologne? I forget. Or no, they're both Garzas.
No, Primo and Epico are both colognes.
Are the colognes. Yeah.
Yeah. Along with Carlito.
Yes.
Carlito's an older brother, I believe. But
does that mean we could bring back Sin Cara?
Acts too much like a star backstage. Can't do it. Now, Carlito had canceled a couple of independent bookings, but that makes at least Fightful Select think that Carlito is on his way back into the company. to once again chew on an apple and spit in the face of people who aren't cool, except this time he'll probably be in an LWO shirt. That's pretty much what's going to happen is, hey, they remember you like this. We're going to do that gimmick again, except this time you're going to be in this shirt. That's it. That's the gimmick. I don't have anything to add there, Chris.
I mean, I just think the representation of Spanish international stars is so inspiring that if you're a guy like Roosh, you're not walking, you're running to join this company.
Especially working as stiff as you do, because we all know they love their stiffness in WWE. That'll do it for the news portion. And now, what's going to be, I think, an interesting lazy river of wrestling criticism, whatever we watched this week, whatever we saw, whatever we're thinking about in the world of wrestling, it comes in. And Chris, I am not prone to hyperbole, even though I am the greatest man who ever lived. But I thought that Dynamite was the best show they've ever done. And it's high up there with best television wrestling programs I've watched in terms of free week-to-week television. And I'll tell you why. It wasn't just that MJF Adam Cole match was so beautiful in so many ways. And we'll break that down a little bit as we go. But they addressed a lot of weaknesses from last year's Forbidden Door build that I appreciate, especially promos and why we're watching this. And it looks like they're actually trying with the build. I thought all the matches on this show were great, and it had a hot ending too. I really, really loved this Dynamite. Chris, what did you think about it?
Like, I agree with you, especially at the end here where you have like Takeshita coming out and Omega scrumming out. I thought that was a particularly strong ending. I mean, I always like Bedlam style endings. I even think that
Nitro used to do that a lot.
Yes, and that was a really strong move. I mean, one of my favorite endings to Nitro is where the NWO comes out, it's like destroying the ring and everything, and the Giant is on commentary and explaining how Hulk Hogan turned him heel as like chaos is ensuing all around him.
Now that I think about it, a lot of my endings for shows have been chaos, either horsemen beating down people. I remember it was a terrible Raw, but the great ending with the Nexus debut, I just thought that debut was awesome, where they tear apart everything, including attacking Michael Cole. And then this ending with Ospreay and just making him look like $1 million. I thought this ending was great, but continue. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that making Sammy Guevara Jey Uso is also like a fun little move. I think this will actually help turn him babyface. This whole like Sammy, you know, getting called to his better angels by Darby and Sting thing actually will help make the babyface Sammy thing stick.
I didn't have time to research this, but maybe you remember or not. When they started the Four Pillar storyline, wasn't there a promo by either Sammy or Jericho and the JAS that said that Sammy had their blessing to go off and do this on his own without the JAS? Because that was the only thing sticking in my craw about that promo with Jericho.
I want to say that Jericho did say that.
Yes, I remember that. And maybe this is just, oh, well, Jeff, he's being a heel because he did say that. I go, yeah, but you got to remind people that he said that. If you're going to pull that move.
Right. No, like Sammy would need to actually speak on that explicitly. Like, and I would say almost immediately. Like,
yeah, like Chris, you said I had the JAS's blessing right. To go off there and do that. That's why I didn't call you for help, et cetera. No, I wanted to do it on my own.
Have an instant react to that. Like, at least, even if it's not verbal, his hands would need to at least go up, like, well, what the hell, man? I thought we had a deal.
Can we go into this MJF Adam Cole thing of beauty?
Yes, let's go into it.
Oh my goodness. Number one, I loved how everybody goes, well, it started off real slow. Well, guess what, guys? That's the stuff I dig. MJF just being an awesome heel and doing almost every to a point where it's almost overkill, every heel trope. The Fargo strut, the taking a powder.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The mocking of moves and the crowd. I adored this. I adored how it continued. I loved the HBK mocking and the tuning up the band for sweet chin music. I loved the Eddie Guerrero failure of that spot with the belt. I thought that was ingenious the way they did that. And the crowd picked up on it immediately and got the chant going. I thought MJF worked his ass off in this match, and that's not enough. He never gets enough credit for what he does in the ring because he's working with guys who are considered such great workers. But I thought MJF, you know, coming off the top, just his general stuff and his attitude towards it, where he wasn't being funny. He was actually trying to hurt Adam Cole at times. I really liked, and I adored that this crowd hated this ending because I loved it so much, because I missed the time cue when Justin Roberts said 20 minutes, because I was watching, but I wasn't really listening. And so they didn't telegraph the time limit ending. But when it rang at 2 and I'm like, okay, who just did the screw job? And they go, oh, the time's up. I cheered a little bit in my couch. And then when Adam Cole did the 5 more minutes and MJF said no. Yes, this is so old school. This is dusty and dirty. It's so old. It hasn't been cleaned in a while. This was Flair doing a time limit draw on TV, I think against Wyndham. Don't quote me on that one, but I adored everything about this match, Chris.
I think that this was a really, really entertaining match. And even though I kind of caught wind, I'm like, we are going the distance. So like, I saw this coming because there's just limited outs on this particular match. Either Cole has to win or Cole has to not lose. And once I started getting a feel for the pacing, I was like, oh, we're going the distance. That being said, though, this is an unbelievably fun going the distance sort of match. And I like the end of this where MJF, and this sort of gets a reprise later on in the show too, MJF is trying to seem strong when he says no, but he's scared. Mm-hmm. And that is coming across very effectively, in my opinion. I think they're doing a really good job with that.
Yeah, they didn't make him a coward outright, which was a good thing.
No, but his fear is palpable. And I like that. So I thought that this was a very entertaining match.
This might be my favorite match of the year so far. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking hard on what else was better. I mean, I kind of like the Royal Rumble.
I would have given Cole the win here, but I thought that this draw was so strong in favor of Cole that it more or less did the job. I mean, they're trying to protect that MJF has never lost or whatever, but I got to be honest. I think that's idiotic for a heel champion to have to hang on to in terms of booking patterns. I think it's perfectly fine for your heel champion to like lose via disqualification, not as a pinfall, but like via disqualification, via count out, any number of different ways.
I like that it increases the want of the audience to see Adam Cole win mostly. And it also helps not overshadow Forbidden Door and the challengers that they're doing for that, which is now Tanahashi, because you can't really have Adam Cole deserves this shot. Adam Cole deserves this shot, but now Tanahashi, we have to somehow, you know, shoehorn him in there. It eliminates that issue there, and it keeps the chase going. And just, you know, all you have to do now is just have MJF go, you didn't beat me. You didn't beat me. And Adam Cole being furious going, yeah, but you didn't beat me either, type of a thing. and really build up until we get like a stipulation for a match next time. I really thought this was creative. I thought this was well thought out. I thought this was well done. And really it carried me throughout the rest of the show, even though I liked the rest of the show for the most part. Like I like even an underrated thing like that.
The main event. Let's not prepare the main event here either. I thought the main event also slapped. I thought that this is just, I mean, look, the Bucks and Paige versus Blackpool was good, solid, and intense. I love Wheeler Yuta as the little punching bag.
Yes.
Watching that Jackson powerbomb Wheeler Yuta, I was laughing because it's only Wheeler Yuta is small enough that Matt Jackson can dominate him. And I like that. I think that's just I think that's cool. I've been loving the whole vibe of Blackpool as of late here.
Yeah, they're the best heel group they have right now.
The energy's great, even if the story's kind of confusing or hasn't been perfectly launched. I think the actual vibe of Blackpool, compensates for whatever continuity discrepancies there are.
Although Takeshita has now rebranded himself as El Hijo de Don Callis, which is just fantastic in so many ways. But
I think Don Callis is one of the most revered Mexican rudos.
Well, he is now the son of Don Callis.
Right, no, I know. And that's in keeping with rudo tradition.
Yes, yes. What I was going to say is, the match with Keith Lee, Darby Orange, and Sting versus the Mogul affiliates. It was obvious that time got cut a little bit there. And while it was in the style almost, I mean, it's weird. I loved that match because of the chaos, how it started and then how it ended. And it was like a sprint of a brawl between these two teams. Like just the Darby going out, diving and being suicidal, and then Orange getting caught by Brian Cage. Now, I'm not the biggest Brian Cage fan in the world, but that was definitely a get your stuff in match for everybody. I love the ending of that match with Sting doing the death drop off of the Orange Punch. I thought that was great too. I mean, there wasn't a lot of filler. I mean, the weakest thing on this show possibly, other than the MJF promo. I think Hager's solid. I don't think Hager's supposed to be spectacular. I think he's good at what he does. That was the best Sky Blue match I think you'll ever see.
Right. Man, I was gonna go there next. I thought Sky Blue really over-delivered in that match. And
bit of a stupid baby face, but a bit of a smart baby face at the same time with the blue paint. I thought that was clever.
Right. I thought that she had a plan.
Yes.
I thought... Maybe the big mistake in booking, but I blame this more on the commercial break, or the big mistake in pacing. Mostly this is the commercial break, is Tony and Ruby are going in and antagonize. They spray her mom or whatever, right?
Right.
And Sky Blue's fire up needed to last more than just that plancha, because she had the fire up, hits the plancha, we're going to the commercial break, and so the heel takes over. But that's not how that actually should have went during that commercial break. During that commercial break, it should have actually just been all Sky Blue running Tony Storm ragged.
Thought Sonata looked good in that promo. I'm not a big New Japan guy, but I mean, that's the best I've seen Sonata look in terms of championship heft. For me at least, just being kind of a dumb casual on such things. I thought even Jack Perry's accepting of the open challenge, which obviously one-upped Hook, and it's so obvious where we're going with this, but I think Perry is actually doing something, turning into a heel here. I think he's going to be a good heel. Which, despite the Pillars build, I'm hoping for that. I want to see something out of this kid. I really do.
Yes, I thought that
you're my best friend, and everybody boos that line because they know what's coming. It was so great.
Yeah. There's that, and then also just him saying, I really want to win something this year, and you know that he's going to lose this match. But I think that Hook is going to be there solid and true at the end of this match, and that's what's going to make the backstab that much worse.
Well, he's going to be looking at that FTW title because he said he was going to win gold this year.
That's true.
That's the Chekhov's gun in this whole thing. What was the other thing I was just thinking of?
Well, and the fact that like he never really mentioned like Jungle Hook's back together, but there's no clear plan to winning the tag team titles.
Oh yeah, Hager and Wardlow, like these guys just have a hoss match, and I don't need Hager to set the world on fire. Hager is playing the role of the over the hill big guy that still has some toughness, but he's never going to win a competitive match, but he's still going to get his licks in and stuff. I've never had an issue. I think the blowback against Jake Hager was like the cringy
Was like the best gimmick he's ever done.
Yeah, but it was also xenophobic. Remember?
I understood the politics of the gimmick. Yes.
No, I wasn't saying you didn't, but the blowback from how icky the gimmick was, I think, has carried on with Hager for a long, long time. But I didn't mind this match at all. I thought Wardlow looked strong in it. I can do without Arn Anderson and his Glock, but they beat him up afterwards, so I'm happy with that.
I think wrestling needs more guns, so I actually applaud Arn Anderson's Glock.
So you are against the Scott Hall line that there shouldn't be pistols in wrestling when talking about Pistol Pez Watley.
yeah, but like no, I mean I think actually. No, to be serious here, quite the opposite. Like a gun should never actually be part of the wrestling universe because it's like bringing in a nuclear weapon or something like that.
It's like the Kenny Omega forearm chainsaw. It's like, no. And Arn is such a guy with
a bazooka, you know?
Yeah, but Arn is such a guy with a reputation that you kind of don't want to see that out of him. You just want to see him be mean and surly, you know. I can't be Ole at this point in his life, be honest with you. Your turn, sir.
Okay, is there anything else I want to like throw roses at from this AEW show? I feel like we've now talked about all of it, and yes, I mean this is just a very sound show. I think the Gates of Agony, we talked about them last episode, they continued to be impressive, and yeah, for Cage, for his part, looked good. He looked more like one of the Road Warriors than Sting.
That face paint was interesting. I'm still wondering what the artistic choice behind it was.
It's like he was trying to do 90s Sting. But
that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I think this was like maybe
95.
He was, let me posit this for you. Maybe he was so excited about wrestling Sting, he decided to do Sting cosplay.
I mean, that was the idea.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that they even said that on commentary.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Stupid. They said it on TV. That's going to go.
Your analysis is spot on again.
Thank you. Yeah, please don't say anything in the Discord about that. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, no. I thought it looked good. I thought it worked. All right. So then I made the choice this week, bafflingly, to watch NXT entirely. I don't know why I do things. I'm a bit of a mystery to myself sometimes, Hawkins. You know who has just the most obnoxious energy in the world? Wesley, Tyler Bate, and Mustafa Ali.
Oh, good Lord.
This opening match was so stupid. And for it to build up, for it to not be a way of establishing that the referees actually are capable of getting calls right sometimes and reversing calls, and instead for it to be the pretense for Mustafa Ali to be the special guest referee, wherein he will presumably do a bad job.
That promo was cringe.
Oh my God.
And I like all three of those guys.
Tyler Bate at the end. What is... I'm not a fan of that affect that he is putting onto his voice now when he says things like, I know a delightful vegan restaurant.
Yes. You know what that is? That's Bryan Danielson being a virgin. That's what that is. I hate this. I hate that whole thing.
I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
What I don't hate, she is such a gimmick. And I say this every week. I love Thea Hale. She's not a great wrestler, but I love Thea Hale. She's she has been taught self-defense by... I kind of need her and Drew Gulak.
Her Gulak and Dempsey is like an amazing trio. Like, especially... Yes. Like, no, like, turning those guys, like, they're like baby faces because she's just so overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
No, I think that she serves as a tremendous comedic foil for those three.
Yes, I agree. That's
and cool. Dempsey, I'm sure, has his father's humor gene.
Yes. And
we know Drew Gulak is capable of being very funny.
Yes.
So, like, the three of them actually, you know, how much screen time will they get, blah, blah, blah. But the three of them actually doing stuff will be really entertaining.
I agree. As much as I love Chase Yu, without Andre Chase, it really doesn't have much, and hopefully he's back soon, but I'm here for
some...
They found
nothing with Duke Hudson during this time.
Middle manager Duke Hudson has been so middle manager-y, he hasn't made a decision while the boss is out of town.
I want to talk about something a little bit more serious here.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not all right to put Dabba Kato into a handicap match. it's unfair to Dabba. And I was watching this and I was mortified.
You didn't like Dabba doing the Jabba?
No, Dabba not a Jabba. This is not Jabba the Hutt. This is Dabba the Hutt, which is different. Dabba the Kato. And he's in this handicap match against Scripps and Axiom, bunch of thugs. And they are teaming up against him. Who sanctioned this match in the first place? And the crowd is cheering on the two guys.
It's ridiculous. In every way.
It really is ridiculous, though. Like the whole premise that, like, I don't care that this dude is bigger than these two guys by nearly double their height. It's crazy. But it doesn't really matter when you have two people because they can be like in different places. I mean, if anything, in order to really get this stuff off the ground, you have to sell it like Dabba Kato's like clotheslines and stuff, like annihilate Scripps. Like Scripps, yes. Like gets clotheslined. He goes to the outside and like he's up against the guardrails.
Dabba Kato has to be Sid.
Yeah. And it takes like Axioms to go out there and kind of get Scripps up, and then Axiom tries to go in and like Axiom gets like tossed out of the ring, like over the top rope. And then, you know, like Scripps has to go over there. They have to like really rally and figure out some sort of team thing because they realize that like one more mistake like this and either one of them is just going to be like not able to get back into the ring to answer a 10 count.
I like Malik Blade and his sweater vest, but I still can't get over the promo with Stokely where Stokely goes, "Brother, it is only March." He has a sweet drop kick, and they've improved, but man, they are just dull as dishwater as a team.
And then how dumb did all three of these teams look like at the end when they're like all sitting there talking about the power of friendship and how it's been good that they've kind of gone through this like banding together as brothers thing. And like, they're all like, you know, experiencing camaraderie. And then there's like one announcement of like free crackers and they're all beating each other over.
Yes. Yes. That was just, and then you're going to add Umberto and Garza are into this mix.
And that interview was funny because they're just like, this is a very interesting place. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's great.
They're great. I like them.
I mean, they had to pipe in the booze because I think everyone wants to cheer these guys.
Yeah, no, they're great. But and of course, Booker T still stinks. I did like Roxanne Perez's promo after the match. I mean, she took a header on that Pop Rocks, but the promo against Blair.
What happened at the end of this match? They went home really early.
What happened on the Pop Rocks is as she, it looked like, who's the other person in this match?
Tatum.
Tatum Paxley. Yeah, it looked like Tatum didn't get a great jump on the Pop Rocks, or Roxanne just didn't get a good jump on her end, and she landed on her head and neck in there. I think they were a little worried about concussion.
Yeah, because they went home fairly quickly. And then afterwards, Paxi was like on the ground and had her hand over her mouth. So she was like saying a lot of, like, there was a lot of in-ring chatter there. And I actually ended up wanting to try to understand.
If you look at that, I mean, Roxanne just dumps herself right on her head and neck. And you're like, oh my God.
Claire Davenport's terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah, she's not my favorite either. I'm going to go into the main roster because I don't have anything else to say about NXT. Number one, the Jay story on Bloodline, pretty great, as we knew it would be. Sami Zayn pinned somebody with a blue Falcon bomb this week, Chris. Pinned our boy Kaiser. Is that the name he's going?
I won't call him Von Kaiser, but it's Wolfgang Kaiser.
I keep on calling him Axel Dieter Jr. still, so it's one of those things. But yeah, look, Imperium's great. There's no other way to put it. Imperium is fantastic in this Raw role, and Kevin Owens being kind of a off-kilter maniac along with Sami Zayn doing where's the bald guy? I'm loving those two as well. You can do a point now on Raw or WWE, whatever.
Yeah. Let's see here. You know, if you're trying to make Braun Breaker really interesting and draw some intrigue to NXT, bringing in Baron Corbin at the same time is a hell of a choice to really build the brand up, right?
Like, well, it's one of those things where it's like you have, and I don't think this works with Seth and Braun fighting while Carmelo and Baron fight. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, which title's actually important here? And it kind of overshadows it. It's kind of like, you know, if you had...
other point here. Does this really elevate the world heavyweight title to have down and be defended in NXT? So, like, they made two choices here with these two belts. The world heavyweight title, which is theoretically like the supercontinental title or whatever, the number two belt in the company. And then you have the NXT belt, which needs prestige direly. And Carmelo Hayes against Baron Corbin. No one thinks Baron Corbin is going to win the NXT title. And the only thing worse than that would be Baron Corbin winning the NXT title. Like, the only thing that would be worse than the foregone conclusion is try to buck the foregone conclusion here.
I'll give you one thing that might be even worse than that, is if Carmelo retains with the help of Trick Williams.
Oh God, Melo goes heel.
Like, because he's the baby face who is smart but using heelish tactics in a David and Goliath match. Because that's what this is a David and Goliath match. I think Carmelo Hayes beating Baron Corbin clean. I mean, but that's just it too, is that Baron Corbin has not been built up as anything of late. And
it would take a year.
Yes.
I'm not joking. It would take a year of dedicated booking down in NXT, establishing Baron Corbin on a 1 year winning streak and serious music.
Him murder deathing people every week, including people that they like.
A serious presentation. I mean, this guy's coming out to the happy Corbin music still.
Yes.
And he's acting like retro Corbin, only now he looks like Billy Corbin. He's boring. He's just boring.
Yes. And that's the other problem. He doesn't come off as a badass in any way. He'd need to be repackaged too, almost even more than Lone Wolf Baron Corbin. He'd need, you know, the destroyer Baron Corbin. And he just comes out and guys he wrestles don't come back for 3 months type of a thing. He would really need, I mean, he'd need to be Dijak on steroids in terms of the push.
I know that's kind of what you're looking at, like the ultimate sort of Dijak push from a guy who's not at Dijak's performance level.
Right. I will say this. I think the Money in the Bank ladder matches are interesting. I'm actually very excited.
I think they're interesting because Cody Rhodes isn't in them.
Yes. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion, at least the men's side. I think the women's side, doesn't matter who the fifth person they add tonight is. Which I think is probably going to be Raquel. I think Raquel Gonzalez is going to be the one that's added to that match. But on the men's side, it's nobody who's ever been thought of in a world title kind of way. And guys that are kind of on the come, and it's kind of the way that you thought Money in the Bank should have originally been handled, which is, a guy, you know, it's not any of the top tier guys. It's all a bunch of guys on that next level fighting to just get a shot at the title. I really like it. I mean, LA Knight, Nakamura, Ricochet, who else am I missing? Santos Escobar, which, you know, I'm here for that. I'm here for him getting any kind of shine in a match. And who am I missing in the six there? I believe, is it Jonah?
I think it is Jonah.
Bronson Reed?
Bronson Reed.
Okay. I'm here for that too.
Yeah, Bronson Reed wins by disqualification in that match. Yeah,
Money in the Bank. No, I don't think he can do that. But
no, I think it's the qualifier, like in the match against Ricochet.
Let me get the card up here real quick. And you know what? I'm kind of here. I really enjoyed the. I know Cody's not in the match, but I love this Cody Dom feud. It's so stupid. Oh, Damian Priest is in it. I forgot about that. I tend to think Damian Priest is going to be. Oh, no, never mind. It's Ricochet, Shinsuke, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Butch, Pulp Fiction, and Damian Priest. We still haven't turned Butch back to
well, I mean, as I've said it before, I'll say it again. Here he is, world champion.
Butch. Beer. I think Damian Priest is probably getting the because they want to turn him babyface, and they've started the split now with Judgment Day. And I think JD McDonough is going to be added to Judgment Day eventually. And then on the women's side, Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, Io Sky, and whoever else they put in there. But fairly certain Io Sky is going to beat Bayley and take that title, and then that'll get that split going too. But the matches themselves, I think, will be fun. What was I going to say? There's something in there that was bugging me a little bit about the women's part of the match, but I can't remember it right now. Anywho, it's probably not important, but yeah. And then Cody and Dominic, which is Nepo baby feud. I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, I like the feud. I think that the issues that Cody says, I'm going to finish the story. And it doesn't necessarily always seem like he has his eye on the ball. And
I don't think they know how to finish the story, Chris. Because they should have finished the story in March or April. Okay,
right. Well, I mean, I get what you're saying, but you have to remember that we were told that this is chapter 3 of a multi-part story, and we have to have faith that this is going to play out.
But it's not Cody's story, it's Roman's story. That's why it's chapter 3 in that story.
It's all of our story.
It's Mr. Hand, it's not your time. It's not my time. It's our time.
Yeah.
God. But when we go over this match, which will be, what, 2 weeks from now, I think, all I can think is Rhea screwing Cody here. Just, like, helping Dom win for the heat. And then we're going to have to figure out a way to get or you know, even Brock comes out again and destroys him. I don't know. But, Raw was kind of a rough watch, but I'm here for some of the individual programs. Like, I can't be bothered with anything Seth Rollins does because I'm just tired of the singing. The singing is now becoming a problem for me because it's almost like the what chant, where it's like we can't get to the point because the audience has to do their song.
I find the song itself to be kind of annoying.
Yes.
Like, it's like a lazy version of Seven Nation Army.
That's a good call.
That's just my two cents on the song.
Anything else in wrestling that you want to bring up?
Man, I don't think so. I think we basically hit it.
We have exhausted, and we were kind of giving everybody flowers this week. It was kind of
cool. I know. I every so often we can be very positive. Actually, the one person we were kind of negative on was Punk. So look at us. We're Jeff, I think there's hope that you and I can integrate into the mainstream, right? I told you that if we really put our minds to it, one day we can be normal.
There are 20 people yelling at whatever audio device they're on going, it's about time you all got on the anti-punk train.
Oh, I didn't say I got on the anti. I mean, I just thought he was shit this week.
That'll do it for us.
Call him as I see him, Jeff.
I am at CrapGame13 on Twitter. Once again, I'll be on the Fight Game Media Network after Collision tomorrow night, live on their YouTube channel, talking Collision with Garrett Gonzalez and Paul Fontaine. Join Fight Game Media at patreon.com/fightgamemedia. I do the Dynamite show on Wednesdays. Usually goes up about 2 hours after Dynamite ends. Hall and I thoroughly deconstruct Dynamite to a point that it's almost ridiculous. But yes, either that or follow me for bad jokes and more ALF content coming on Twitter. Chris is only on Instagram because he is not a man of the people. He is a man.
No, that's it's totally wrong. I'm the voice of the masses, and you can follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/DrDocTor_NOV. I've always been repping the people and the shorties. I love the shorties.
Shorties.
It's all about the shorties. Yeah. Doing it for the shorties.
The meat wad.
you got what I'm throwing down there. And I teach guitar lessons. I actually just did my first week of the Jimi Hendrix series. I'm calling it Jimi Hendrix summer camp because it's happening during the summer and a lot of like my students are kids who are out of school, but like, what is it really? It's an 8-hour lecture series on Jimi Hendrix that like kind of combines the history of Jimi Hendrix with actual audio recordings of his playing and that sort of thing. Everything this first week here was all the preliminary stuff before the experience, his big three albums. And then I actually break down some of the playing and the techniques that he is doing on this recording. So if you've ever been interested in Hendrix, you are a guitar player, and want to pick up stuff, this is a great way to kind of get on board and get into the Hendrix modality. And then from that point, you can learn other songs and that sort of thing. So for those interested, each session is 25 a session to attend, or 20 if you just want the video after the fact. They're 2 hours long. And they take place every Friday. So for those interested, message me at instagram.com/DocTor_NOV. I think I mentioned this in the last show, but don't worry about the government did make a surprise comeback here on Patreon only right now. We're still working out what like a new rollout would look like, of don't worry about the government and feeling out things. But I suspect you might even hear some more don't worry about the government in the next week or two here, because there have been some news and headlines and that sort of thing. So we'll be talking about all these sorts of things over at patreon.com/DWATG. You can get lessons from me, instagram.com/DocTor_NOV. And you can also attend the Jimi Hendrix classes. So that's all I got, Jeff.
Okay, we'll end it there.
Okay.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.